Well, I'd like to welcome all of you to this service here today. For all of you that are in those assisted living facilities in the nursing homes, I just want you to know that you're not forgotten about. Even though the doors are still locked, the people here at Liberty Baptist Church, we continue to lift you up in prayer. We look forward to that day that the doors are unlocked and we can be back with you in person and see your smiling faces. Until then, know for sure that we are praying for you, we miss you, and we look forward to seeing you again in the near future. Today I'd like to talk about knowing God. Not have you heard of God. A lot of people have heard the name God, heard things about God. I want to talk to you if you know God. Do you know him? Do you personally know him? Have you spent any time in your life trying to get to know him? I'll spend my entire life trying to get to know God. Okay? But have you put forth the effort to know God? So I'm going to read, before we read anything, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Father, just to put your word on DVD and take it to these dear folks and by way of live streaming. And Father, I just pray that you have your will and way during this service and help us to realize, Father, that your desire is for us to know you, is to know your Son, Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior because of what he's done on the cross, not because of anything we've done. Father, we thank you for that, and I just ask that you encourage hearts through your word here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so I'm going to read a couple verses in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We'll read verses 8 and 9. David here, King David, is addressing the nation of Israel here in verse 8. And he says, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." Now, before we go to verse 9, I was reading this, and I'm thinking, if you seek after God and you keep his commandments, it says that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. So just giving you a heads up, I think in the near future, I'm going to speak about that, because this is a good land that the Lord has given us. The United States of America, we are blessed to be here. And that down here it says, leave it for an inheritance for your children. You know, I want my children to be blessed by living in the United States of America. But the direction our country is headed, we're not going to have an inheritance for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Why is that? Because this country doesn't seek after God and keep his commandments. But what I want to talk to you about today is verse 9. Now David, he was talking there in verse 8 to the nation of Israel. Now he turns his attention to his son Solomon. Okay? And in verse 9 he says, "And thou Solomon my son." So he's talking directly to his son. "Know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." You know how many people in our country have forsaken God? And he says right there, he's warning his son. He says, if you forsake God, he's going to cast thee off forever. And what he's telling Solomon is he's saying, "I'm your dad and I can't do nothing for you. And we can't do anything for our children to keep God from casting them off forever unless they get to know God." Oh, I tell you, parents in past generations and this generation and if there's generations to come, they have not told their children to know God. The majority, the vast majority, have not told their children, instructed their children to know God. You know, in this day and age, Parents have their little children, and they always envision what they might grow up to be. Doctors, lawyers, heaven forbid. A brain surgeon, or whatever it might be. But how many parents look their little children in the eyes and say, know thou the God of thy father? You know, if we could get one thing across to the next generation, it would be to know God. And like I said a little bit ago, not know of him. Know him. Know why he does the things he does. Know why he doesn't do the things he doesn't do. I mean, get to know him. People, you know, in this world, something goes wrong in their life. They shake their fist at God and want to know, why'd you let this happen? Anytime somebody does that, I know right away they do not know God. They do that because they do not know him. Well, I tell you, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What do you think that verse means? For God so loved the world. He's not talking about that oak tree out there or the grass or the pond out back. For God so loved the world, he's talking about all of us. He gave his only begotten son. He didn't give it for that oak tree out there. He didn't give his only begotten son for that oak tree. He did for you and me so we could know him. So we could know him. Do you know God? Do you know God? I mean, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know, if parents today would read this right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Well, let's start. Let's start in verse 5. We'll read down through 9. Deuteronomy 6, 5. Now, keep in mind, if you have children and grandchildren or great-grandchildren, it's not too late. It's not too late. But this is what the Lord wants. He says right here, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Have you taught your children about the Lord? Have you taught him about the Lord? Have you taught them about the Lord? And like I said a minute ago, it's not too late. It's not too late. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You get the feeling the Lord doesn't want us to forget what he's telling us. He wants us to remember what he's telling us, and he wants us to tell our children. You know, I think back, and I thank the Lord that he saved me. But I was in my 30s when he saved me, and I think back, and growing up, the Lord was never discussed sitting around the house. Okay, and that's the way it is with the vast majority. The Lord's name is not brought up unless they're using it as a swear word in the house, and that's what the children pick up on, and that's what they learn it, and that's what they carry on the tradition of that. But if we had parents that maybe have never taught their child about the Lord, but said, okay, from here on out, I'm going to encourage my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren to know God. That's what our country needs. That's what the world needs. We have political leaders on both sides of the aisle in Washington, D.C., that know not God. That's why we're in the mess we're in. They know not God. You know, it's our duty to know God. Duty is an obligation. It's something we're required to do. It's our duty. If we look at Ecclesiastes 12:13, it's just our duty. Right there it is. It says right here, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So this is wrapping it all up in a nutshell right here. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. To know God is to fear God. If you truly know him, you will live your lives in the fear of God. And it says right here, and keep his commandments, for this is our duty. This is it's what is required of us. So many people fail that obligation. You know, when we fail and we fail to teach our children about God, we've failed them. People don't teach their children about God because they don't think of eternity. You know, what parent wouldn't want their child to spend eternity in heaven rather than hell? I mean, because it's one or the other. We're either going up or we're going down. There's no staying in between, and it's permanent. It's eternity. But if parents would stop and think about that, they love their children. I don't doubt that. Most of them do. Vast majority do. And they would want their child to spend eternity in heaven, but they fail to teach them about God. They fail to instruct them to know God as the number one most important thing they could do in their lives is know God. God delights in the fact that we strive to know him. He takes pleasure in that. You know, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 9. Verses 23 and 24. 23 and 24, it says right here, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. And in verse 24 it says, but let him that glorieth glory in this. So here it is right here. That he understandeth and knoweth me. You want to glory in something? Glory in the fact that you know God. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The Lord's saying, I delight in the fact that you get to know me. We are his creation, and the vast majority do not know him. We live in a world that does not know God. Many Christians don't even know God. A lot of, you know, we're the United States is a very religious country. But sadly, a lot of those churches are spreading false doctrine. And the people go for every reason imaginable except to know God. I want a church where I'm going to be taught about God, where God is the centerpiece. Without Jesus Christ being right here in the center of this church, I don't want to be here. I mean, I've got other things to do. We just need people that have a desire to know God. We need people to have that desire. God is not pleased with those that do not know him, though he delights in the fact that people want to know him, but he is not happy if people do not get to know him. Let's look at Hosea chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 and 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. And just because it says ye children of Israel, it's still talking to us. Okay, the Lord is still talking to us. Don't say he's talking to them and not me. It doesn't work that way. If he didn't want us to know about it, it wouldn't be right here in the Bible. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. I imagine he does with the inhabitants of the United States, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. He has an issue with that. I think he has an issue with the USA. Let's go to verse 6, if you would, please, Pastor. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Forget thy children? You know, if people could just take this to heart, that God is speaking. Forget that. I don't want the Lord to forget my children. What do I need to do so that doesn't happen? I need to get to know God. Do you know God? Do you truly know God? Do you spend the time and the effort to know him? It's not a one-hour thing. It's a lifetime thing. But it can still start today. It can start today. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, in flaming fire taken vengeance on them that know not God. Is that you? Is it me? I don't want God taking his vengeance out on me if I don't know him. But it says right there, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, it says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? Those people who are going to be punished with everlasting destruction are the ones that don't know God. I don't care if they say they're religious, they go to church, they give a lot of money, they do good works. The Lord says right here, they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. It's because they do not know God. They do not know him. I tell you what, if the majority of the people in this country of ours knew God, we wouldn't be in this mess we're in. And we are in a mess. God has done everything possible to make himself known to us, though. He's done everything he could possibly do to make himself known to us. Let's look at Psalms chapter 19, verses 1, 2, and 3. I mean, even if you cannot read the Bible here, or you don't have it in your language, or whatever it could be, but I know if you're listening to this, you can have it in your language. Even if someone were to step outside, they can see, just by what God has created, that there is a God. There is a God. And that ought to just pique their curiosity to know more about him. If they just look up. In Psalms 19, verses 1, 2, and 3, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. You ever just looked up at the stars? The moon? I mean, have we ever just looked around and seen the beauty? For someone to think, it just, boom, one day it just exploded and this is the way it is. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I mean, just stepping outside on a clear night and looking up and seeing all those stars, and we're only seeing a fraction of them. You know, God created that, and that ought to just turn our minds to him and saying, he is the creator. I need to know him. I need to know him. There's a lot of people in my lifetime that I've heard about that I'll never know, and quite frankly, I don't care if I know them or not. But God is not one of them. He's the one person I want to know. He's the one person I want to know. And just what he's created out there ought to make us curious as to who God is and set us on a course to know him. Nobody's going to have an excuse why they didn't know God. There's not one person going to be able to give an excuse why they didn't know God. God's made it possible for us. He has made himself known to us through his son, Jesus Christ. He has, you know, we're not going to get to God without going through Jesus Christ. And we already read John 3:16. Jesus Christ is the key. He's the key. Let's look at John chapter 1. We'll read verses 14 and 18. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word," that's capital W, so we're talking about Jesus Christ here, "was made flesh," where it goes back to John 3:16, "and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then if we jump over to verse 18, it says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, so we could know God the Father. So we can know God the Father. Let's go to John chapter 14. I think I'll read 6 and 7. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way to eternal life, the way to God, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see right there, I said Jesus Christ is the key. You're not getting to God the Father without going through God the Son. And in verse 7, it says, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." If you know Jesus Christ, you know God. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. I'll read the first two verses there. Hebrews chapter 1 says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." That was in the Old Testament. In verse 2 it says, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds." It's through Jesus Christ that we get to know God. You can't have one without the other. Back in 1 Chronicles 28:9, King David is talking to his son Solomon, and he says to know God and then serve him. And if you truly know God, well, I'll read it again. "And thou, Solomon, my son," you know, this. Every time I read this, I just picture a dad talking to his son, giving him some wisdom, giving him some life-changing instructions, giving him a chance at eternal life. Boy, we need more fathers that would just take their children under their wings and tell them this right here. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him." So you got to know him. And if you truly know him, you're going to want to serve him. And that's what David's trying to tell his son. Know God and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. It's not only our duty to know God, it's also our duty to serve him. He's the creator. He's the boss. We're not. We're nothing apart from him. God wants us to serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Matthew 15, 8 says, "These people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth." Boy, we have a lot of people in this country that do that. I told you it's a religious, we're very religious here in the United States. But the problem is a lot of people draweth nigh unto God with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's what David was trying to tell Solomon. Know God and serve him. Because back in that First Chronicles there, 28:9, he tells Solomon that God knows your heart. See, he knows all these people's hearts right here too. The people in the world today that draweth nigh unto him with their mouth and honoreth him with their lips. But as soon as they get out of sight of somebody or they get out in the street, God's an afterthought. Never think of him again until they step foot back into their church, what they call a church. Churches today are filled with people who do very little or nothing at all for God. That's just the cold, hard fact of it. David tells Solomon to serve God with a perfect heart. Why? Because God is the only one that knows what's in our hearts. He's the only one. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Let's go back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. It says right here, it tells us what the heart is. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Before we go to the next verse there, you know, people say at times, you've heard them say, I need to follow my heart. Do what your heart tells you to do. No, that's not what God says. He says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And in verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. He doesn't say him and somebody else. The Lord searched the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I tell you, we can't hide anything from God. He knows our heart. He knows if we even put forth an effort to know him. You realize one of these days is appointed unto man once to die, and after this his judgment, Hebrews 9:27. We're going to stand before him. You realize how many people that have been born or living today or will be born are going to stand before God, the one that's doing the judging, and they know nothing about him. That is sad. And he's done everything he can to make himself known to us. He desires to have that fellowship with us. A father and his child. But they're going to stand before him in judgment, and they're not going to know anything about him. They're going to go their entire life never, never having read the Bible. Oh, they might have heard a verse or two in their lifetime, but they're going to go their entire life without ever reading it. That is such a shame. He says he's going to preserve this word. It's not going to go away. Why is he going to preserve it? So we can know him. So we can know his son, Jesus Christ, and what he's done for us. Well, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 39. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 39. It says right here, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. God knows our hearts. We can't fool God. We can't hide anything from God. It's all right there in the open. Let's go to Psalms 139, the first four verses. Verses 1 through 4, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. He knows it when we get up and we sit back down, we lay down, he knows. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows what I'm about to say here in the next 32 seconds. He already knows. No matter how much I want to change it, he knows. He knows our hearts, people. He knows if you have a desire to know him or you just don't care. He knows. Our thought process and prayer should be the same as King David's in Psalms. Let's go to 26:2. This is this is what our thought ought to be. Psalms 26:2 says right here, "Examine me, O Lord, improve me, try my reins and my heart." Is that our desire? You know, that was King David's desire. Remember, we're talking about King David talking to his son Solomon back in 1 Chronicles. He says, "Know the God of thy father." He's saying, "Know the same God that I know. You know him." And David right here is telling the Lord, "Prove me, try my reins in my heart." He wanted the same thing for his son. David goes on to tell Solomon that if he seeks after God, he will be found. You know, that's a comfort right there. You know you're not wasting your time getting to know God. Getting to know God is like you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Second Chronicles, let's go to 2 Chronicles 15:2. 2 Chronicles 15:2, and it says, "He went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you." That's a couple times now we read where if you turn your back on God, if you forsake him and say you have no need of him, he's going to do the same thing to you. I want you to think about that long after you're done listening to this DVD. If you have no desire for God, he's going to have no desire for you. And you will end up in a godless lake of fire for eternity. You will be permanently separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a terrible thought. David also tells his son Solomon that if he forsakes God, that God will cast thee off forever. And I've already talked about that. I think we're going to wrap it up here, but I want to go back to 1 Chronicles 28:9, and I want to read that again. Boy, I tell you, you know, just that verse right there just touches my heart when I think about a father and a young boy, and he's trying to tell him something that will change his life forever. And he's saying, "Son, know God. If I can tell you just one thing in life that would do you any good," he's saying, "I want you to know God." Can't we take from this day forward, can't we do this and tell our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren to know God? The greatest thing they could ever do. People sometimes feel like their life has been a failure. They've accomplished nothing. But I tell you what, I don't care about any worldly accomplishments. They mean nothing. The only thing that matters in life is to know God. Is to know God. And we'll read this verse again. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Do you know God? It's not too late. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, if you do, then you will get to know God. We can't fool God. We can't spend a 70, 80, 90, 100 years here on earth thinking we're religious. Well, I tell you what, I told you that'd be the last one. Let's go to one more. Matthew chapter 7. I want to just read to you some people who thought they knew God. They really thought they knew him. And starting in verse 21, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 2 and 3. It says, not everyone, this is Jesus speaking here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. See, these people that say Lord, Lord, they thought they knew God. Shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? They thought they knew him. And then verse 23, Jesus says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Don't go through your life thinking you know God. Because you have every opportunity to know him. Not just have someone tell you about him. Not just hear a verse or two in your lifetime. Get to know God and his son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this, just this opportunity, Father, that you allow us to put your word on a DVD and take it to these dear folks that are shut in. And I just pray, Father, that you encourage their hearts. I pray that just through these few verses here today, that they will have a desire to truly know you, to truly know your son, Jesus Christ, and all that he has done for me and for them. Father, we thank you for your son. We thank you for that great gift. For we know we would have no hope of spending eternity in heaven with you without that gift of salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for that. And just ask that you continue to work in hearts long after this DVD has been shut off. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.